I've been preaching quite a bit the last few weeks. And sometimes I get to the point where, Lord, I don't know what else to say. So I began to pray yesterday because the last thing I want to do is neglect where God has placed me and the church has placed me at, and as a member and a pastor. And so Rhonda and I, we were driving from the hotel yesterday at the motel, and I began to meditate. A lot of times she's talking to me, and I apologize to her. A lot of times I'm trying to figure out what I need to do next, whether it's to preach or whether it's just so much that clouds our hearts and our minds. And sometimes she gets neglected, and I want to apologize for that. But yesterday I was talking to the Lord, and I said, Lord, what do I need to preach tomorrow? What do I need to preach tomorrow at faith? And there was a voice that came to me, and this is what it says: I'm all you need. And so today, if I could try to start a message, I don't know how much I'll get through with it, but this is the way the Lord's led me today. And that is, Jesus is all we need. That's all we need. If we've got Him, everything else is covered. In this world that we live in, if people could just see that we need Jesus. We need Jesus in our schools. We need Jesus in our public offices. We need Jesus in our workplace. We need Jesus in our homes so badly. And I'm going to be preaching out of the book of Philippians. I don't know if I'm going to be even reading anything else. But I want to start with the fourth chapter of the book of Philippians. And I guess if I use the text, my text will be this: Philippians 4 and 19. And you're going to find the word need tucked away in there. It says, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So if He's going to supply all our needs by Christ Jesus, we need to understand some of the things that the Apostle Paul was going through. This book was written about 60 A.D. Some attribute it to two different authors, maybe three different. Because you're going to read at the very end, in my Bible, it says it was written to the Philippians from Rome by Epaphroditus. Now, I don't know who Epaphroditus is, but evidently he had a part in making sure that this letter was delivered to the church at Philippi. Most likely because the Apostle Paul was in prison. But if you read the very first verse in the first chapter, it talks about the Apostle Paul, and he's writing to a young preacher named Timotheus. And one of the things I want to bring out is, you might say, well, why are you reading the last chapter first? Well, the reason I'm reading the last chapter first, the fourth chapter, we're going to read it all just here in a minute and speak as the Lord gives us, is if you've ever read a book by Stephen Covey, it's called The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. Highly effective employees, highly effective church members, highly effective people of society. And one of those seven habits that we should develop is always start with the end in mind. That kind of goes along with the message that I preached several weeks ago, and that is, where there is no vision, the people perish. So we've got to have a mindset of what's out there in the future. And if we just keep dwelling on the things of the now, we're gonna, and it's all about choices. It's all about choices. What we'll do is, if we'll just surround ourselves with now and the present, what that often will do, especially in today's society, it's going to bring us down. But if you want to be a highly effective person, and maybe I shouldn't say this, but it's come on my heart twice. I really like to see this church grow. And so in order for us to make this church grow, I believe one of the things, and this is from God, it's not from me, but it's from God, and you can hold it against me if you want. But I believe one of the things that will help us to grow is that we need to resolve to bring at least one person with us every service. Now you may disagree with that, but that's how you grow. You say, but they won't come. Well, they sure won't come if you don't offer to bring them. So we should bring somebody with us every service. Whether it be Sunday school service, whether it be church service, we should resolve to bring somebody with us. Rhonda and I'm not patting myself on the back, but we both brought somebody with us today. And if we'd all bring somebody with us, and you say, well, does it have to be somebody saved? No! It can be somebody saved, it can be somebody lost. It just needs to be a human being that we have enough care for, that we want them to come to church. And why do we want them to come to church? We want them to come to the church because Jesus is all we need. So we need to get that message out to everybody that Jesus is all we need. When Jesus, and I didn't know I was going to do this, but I'm going to follow my heart, and then we'll get back to this lesson on what we need. Now keep in mind, Paul, he is in prison. He's in prison. And even from prison, he's still inviting people to the Lord. And he's still taking a message, even behind locked bars, and sending it to the church of Philippi to encourage them, to let them know not to be down because your pastor or your preacher or your missionary is locked up in jail. He's still saying that Jesus Christ is all we need. But he said in the book of Matthew, he says to go ye out into the hedges and the highways and compel them to what? To come in. And that's what we need to do. I know you're here. I know you're making an effort, and that's wonderful. That's great. But you know what? We need to go out and compel people to come in to the house of God because you know why? Not because you got a new pastor. Not because we got plenty of room. We want you to come because I believe with all of my heart Jesus is going to be here when we get here, and He's all we need. Now, whether they come or not, that's between them and God. But our responsibility is to go out and reach people and let them know we want you to come to the house of God. We don't care, want you to come so we can judge you. We don't want you to come because there's something going on between two people or three people or this group or that group. We need to compel people to come in so that they can hear the Word of God. Because, you see, we are standing on the solid rock. And if we weren't standing on the solid rock, we better find a rock to stand on. And there's no other rock better to stand on than that of Jesus Christ. Okay, now let me try to get into this message, and please, please help us as we go into these, what I feel like maybe a series of messages. Philippians chapter 4, beginning with verse 1, keeping the end in mind. First of all, the Apostle Paul says, therefore. In other words, I'm going to give you a summary of the first three chapters, and then what we're going to do is we're going to go look at some of the things that are very important. Now, all of it's important, but there are some very important things that the Apostle Paul wanted the church at Philippi to know. I believe today, with all of my heart, that Jesus is all we need, and what Jesus wants me to teach a faith church today is that if it was good enough for the church at Philippi, it's good enough for faith church today, even though we're 2,000 years later. It's still the same God. It's still the same Christ. He says, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for. I'll tell you, we ought to have a longing to come every Sunday, every opportunity that we come together. We should long for to greet one another, fellowship with one another, but more importantly, we should long for the Holy Spirit to meet us as we assemble ourselves together and to direct our minds and our hearts. Now, if we'll do that, you know what's going to happen? There's a miracle that happens. But you know what? We don't focus on the outside world. We don't focus on our troubles and trials and our aches and pains. What we'll do is we'll come in and we'll worship God. Isn't that what we come to do? That's what we should come to do. We should come to worship God because Jesus is truly all we need to worship God. Why is that? Because He's our mediator. That's another message in itself. But there's something I want you to understand. If you don't get anything out of these series of messages, what I want you to understand is there's something very important that Paul wanted to convey to the church at Philippi. And so much so and that is joy and rejoicing. Now I know there will be times when we're going to have to mourn. I know there's going to be times that we have to pray. And Paul mentions all that. But if we got Jesus, everything's going to be all right. Now listen, he says, therefore, my brethren, beloved, I long for, he said, my joy and crown. My joy and crown. That's kind of like my pride and joy. You ever heard of that? I tell you, faith ought to be our pride and joy. A lot of times, people, you know what? A church is on the back burner. And that's why a lot of people don't come. A church isn't a priority anymore. That's why they don't come. Why? Because they've allowed themselves to make choices of other things and make that a priority. Brothers and sisters, we need to make sure that church is our number one priority. Does that mean to be there after service? Well, it should be, because that's where the church is. But more importantly, everyone that's affected by this church, the neighbors around here, those foreign missions, every one of those things should be a priority to us. And if we'll let those things be a priority to us, well, Jesus is all we need, because He takes care of it anyway. He just uses us as earthly vessels as a witness to what? A witness for Him in this world that we live in, both in the church and outside of the church. Now let's go a little bit further. He says, my joy and crown. He says, so stand. Stand fast in what? The Lord. He says, my dearly beloved. And then look at verse 2. This is very important. You think that we got problems here? I'll tell you, Paul had a problem there, and he addressed it before he closed this letter. You know what he had? He had two sisters, evidently, that was kind of at odds with each other. You didn't notice that, did you? But it's tucked right in here in verse 2. He said, I beseech. Now, if the word beseech, that means I beg you. And I'll tell you, I'm not beyond begging. I'll tell you, I'm not beyond begging for people to get right with the Lord. I'm not beyond begging of people that belong to the Lord and can't get along with one another. I'm not beyond begging to say, put down your differences. There's more important things that matter. And that is lost souls in our families and our neighbors. And if they don't get Jesus, they're going to die and go to hell. That is so important. You brothers and sisters, think about this. He said, I beseech you, Dias, and beseech ye, Syntyche. He said that they be of the same mind in the Lord. I'll tell you, when you get the two that are in odds in the church have the same mind in the Lord, I'll tell you, there's things that will happen that will be beyond your imagination. God will bless that. And when two people that have been in odds with each other, and I've seen this, I don't know if you have, but I've seen it where two people have been in odds with each other in the church, and the Spirit of the Lord has come down upon them, and maybe one of their children, the other's child, gets lost or sick, and they go to pray for them. I want to tell you, it's a beautiful thing. But God is all we need when He brings them together in unity. And then they got the same mind. I'll tell you, if we all have the same mind working together, I cannot imagine the possibilities that are waiting here for this church, the church that God has placed me at as a member of this church. And so now, let's listen. He says, I beseech you that you have the same mind of the Lord. He said, and I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel. He says, with Clement also, and with my other fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. I'll tell you, if your name's in the book of life, if there was, you just didn't get it put on there because you was good. You didn't get it put on there because you belonged to this church or that church, if you got baptized. I'll tell you, if your name's in the book of life, what you had to do is repent of your sins, and you had to seek the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart. Then He put your name in the book of life. And as the book of life is there, that means that you are a fellow servant of the Most High God. And as a fellow servant of the Most High God, we have an honor and a privilege to serve God with humility and love. Now look at verse 4. Already we see the word joy. Now we're going to see the next one. And I'm rejoicing. When I got up here, I didn't feel like preaching. But I'm just so thankful that God is letting me rejoice in Him today. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And He says this. He says again, I say, rejoice. 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 Why? Because Jesus is all we need. Listen, my brothers and sisters, listen as I try in my weak way to convey this message that God has placed upon my heart. He said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. He said, let your moderation be known unto all men. He said, the Lord is at hand. Now, we can't force anybody. We can't force anybody to go to church, and I know that. But I'll tell you, we need to resolve that. We say, ask somebody, would you like to come to church? Would you please come to church? After you've done it, and the Lord says, don't do it anymore, then you just leave it in His hand, because He's all we need. We don't need to just continue to thump our Bibles or thump this or thump that. We just need to pray for them. And with moderation and compassion, let them know that the Lord is going to take care of it. Now listen, He said the Lord is at hand. He said be careful for nothing. He says, but in everything, including inviting people to church, when we come to church, when we come to Sunday school, and with everything that we do. He said, you do everything with prayer, He said, and supplication with thanksgiving. He says, let your requests be made known unto God. Brother Jerry, he talked about that in Sunday school this week, this morning. I admire Sister Cindy. I admire others that want to bring their petitions to the church of God. But listen to what he says. He says, let those requests be made known to God. How do we make them known to God? Well, you do that through communication, through prayer, and through supplication, and through meditation. I'm listening to what the Word of God said. I heard a preacher this morning on the radio. When you get some gas, he said, one of the things that you can save by God's grace is the next thing you ought to do is to learn more about God. How do we learn more about God? When you say, come to church, I'll tell you, before you come to church, you need to study God's Word every day and have a little talk with Jesus. Didn't we sing that this morning too? That's what we need to do. Now, this isn't going as quick as I thought, but I kind of thought it would go this way too. Now, listen to what he says in verse 7. He said, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through, he says, Christ Jesus. Again, I'll reiterate what I've said. Jesus is all we need. He keeps our mind. He keeps our hearts. He keeps everything that we need. And then in the next verse, you know what he said? If you go to the end of the verse, he said, think on these things. Keep the end in mind. You see, a lot of times we don't keep the end in mind because we get distracted, you see. I don't want you to get distracted on about what I'm getting ready to read. He says, keep these things in mind and think on them. He says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things, underline that word, are true. Don't you believe what's going out of this pulpit is the truth? Don't you believe what's being taught here in this church is the truth? I do with all of my heart, and I believe God, that when we speak the truth, He blesses the truth, and then we'll accomplish things that we just can't even imagine it accomplishing. So he said, think on this. Think on the truth. Think on whatsoever is true. You know what? We as people, as human beings, are very quick to believe a lie. Now, if there's ever a time that you don't need to really go after them lies, it's now. Because I'm going to tell you, every politician that is getting up is not telling the whole truth. You know it, I know it. And if we listen to the liberal media or even the non-liberal media, there's going to be some things that are just absolutely not true. And I'm going to tell you right now, you may just disagree with me, but what we need is Jesus and not politicians. Wow, I didn't know where that came from, but listen, think on these things. Think on these things. And the next thing he wants you to think on is whatsoever things are on. need to do, first of all, every day, is be honest with ourselves. If we're honest with ourselves, then we ought to seek honesty in every conversation. And no, I'm going to go ahead and say it. The first thing we ought to do in the morning is talk to Jesus and just be honest with Him. If we're honest with Him, I think even things don't go the way, we might get thrown in jail. But at least we can start the day off right. And what did He say? He said, think on these things. He said, just think on these things. Whatsoever things are honest. And then He says, and whatsoever things are just. There is either just or unjust. There is no middle ground. You see, God, He is just. Justice that we need too in everyday life, and especially at the house of God. He said, whatsoever things are pure. I'll tell you, I resolve to do everything I can and to think upon these things. I want to live a pure life. What do you mean a pure life? How do we live a pure life? How do we live how can we be a pure church member? Place that we live in. Brothers and sisters, this is about the best purity you're going to have on the face of the earth, and that is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Anything else is just going to be burned up, and it ain't worth a thing. I don't care if you have everything and own everything in the world. It does not stand up to the things of the purity of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not to Spurgeon's church, makes it pure. That's what makes it pure. Think on these things. And then, whatsoever things are lovely. I tell you, this ought to be the loveliest place on the face of the earth. She's beautiful. You see, every day she's preparing herself. She's preparing herself for a wedding. A wedding. Beulah land. You know what Beulah land means? It means the land of the wedding. That's what she's pure. And I'll tell you, there's no lovelier name than the name of Jesus Christ. And I'll say it until I'm blue in the face. He's all we need. Jesus is all we need. So please, underline these words, lovely. And then whatsoever things are good report. I'll tell you, brothers and sisters, I have to bite my tongue all the time. Because you see, one of the very first things that wants to come out of our mouth is a bad report. This one or that one. The thing that should come out of our mouth is a good report. And you say, well, Brother Spurgeon, I just don't know about many things that are good to talk about. I'll tell you, God's still saving. He saved in the past. He saved over Cedar Cross. He saved over the other revivals that we've been in. He's saving in Africa. He's saving in Trinidad. He's saving in Jamaica. He's saving all over the world. I'll tell you, there's a lot of good things that we need to report. And let me tell you something. He did it all. That's all we need. So listen. He said, if there be any virtue, if there's any virtue, that word virtue, I didn't look it up, but he said to think on these things, so we probably ought to, but most of the time when you look up virtue in the Bible, you know what it means? It means power. I'll tell you, if you want power in this church, if you want power in this pulpit, if you want power down here at the altar, you say, well, I thought there was no virtue in that altar. Absolutely, there's not, but I'll guarantee you one thing, if people will bow down before the Almighty God at this bench, I'll tell you, that virtue will go out of God, and it'll touch the hearts of them, their cups will run over, it'll touch me, it'll touch you, it'll touch your neighbors, it'll touch your family members that won't come. I'll tell you, when you got a good report and you just keep saying how good it is and how pleasant it is to dwell together in unity, you'll find that in Psalms 133,
I believe. He says how good and how pleasant it is. I'll tell you, I just dwell together in unity.
Even with just a few people, I'll tell you, there's power in a few people. There's a lot of power in a few people. One day, Israel, they were coming out of Egyptian bondage, and they went to a valley. And as they were in that valley, there was a great army that came up against them. And as they were there, God told Moses, He said, "You just hold up your hands." He said, "As long as you hold up your hands, we're going to be victorious." I think sometimes that's what we need to do, get off our hands and lift them up. He says, "As long as your hands are up," He said, "you're going to be victorious." But you know what happened? He's just like a lot of us. He's a human being. Moses' arms started falling because they were battling from the morning all the way to the evening. But you know what? As Joshua was fighting those people, his brother Aaron came over and he grabbed one of the arms. And I believe the other one was Ur. He said he grabbed the other one in his Moses' arms. And I'm going to tell you, we're powerless. That virtue, think on this, we're powerless without Him. But with Him, all things are possible. And they come, and they lift his arms. And they set Moses down on a stump, on a rock there. And he raised his hand up. I'm going to tell you, it takes us all. Even if it's just three people with the Lord as a majority that can defeat a whole army that Satan has out there for us. I just want to be positive today. I want to rejoice. I want to be joyful and think of these things today as we bring them before Thee today. And then the last word he said, if there be any virtue, he said, if there be any praise, if there's any praise here, I want to tell you who it belongs to. It belongs to Him. That's who it belongs to. That praise belongs to Him. And you see, because He's all we need. If we just praise Him, if we praise Him for any goodness that comes out of this message today, don't praise me. Praise Him. He deserves the glory, the honor, the praise. That joy comes from Him. That joy is not coming from me. And He said joy is going to come in the morning, so there's no better time than to come and praise the Lord than every service that we come together. But you say, "Brother Spurgeon, I just don't feel like praising the Lord today." Let me tell you, the Lord understands that. He does. He understands that. But you know what? He's still all you need. If you just think on these things, it will give you joy. It will cause you to rejoice. And then finally, in that verse 8, this is just verse 8, he says, think on these things. Think on them. And if you'll think on these things, he said, those things which you have both learned, you've learned these. How did you learn them? Did some preacher just open you up and pour it in? No, the Spirit of the Lord did. The Spirit of the Lord helped you to understand these things. He helps us to understand what's true. When you were lost and separated from God, God let you know what the truth was. That preacher didn't do that. Mama didn't do that. They just carried you to the place where they could bring you to the truth and to the knowledge of it. And really, if you're going to learn it, you're going to have to learn it of yourself. But He's all you need. He's the one. He's the one that was honest to you. You know, when He went to that woman at the well, He was honest with her. And guess what? She became honest. She was just a harlot. She had lived with five different men. The one she had lived with, while she was just living with, wasn't even her husband. But you know what? Jesus didn't take a rock and throw at her. No. He was kind to her. He was honest. And He even told her, said, "The one you're living with, you're not even married." How did He know that? He's all we need. He's all we need. Just, pure, lovely, good, report, virtue, praise. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me. Seen in Brother Spurgeon? No. Paul said, seen in me. Keep in mind where he come from. Keep in mind where he came from. He was a religious man. He points out that he was of the tribe of Benjamin. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He persecuted.
the church of the living God.
But he says, these things that you've seen in me, even if that means getting locked up in jail, he said, those things that you have learned, those things which you have learned and seen in me, he puts one little word in there. A lot of people, they just read over words. Did you like that song when you was a little kid, Do Lord? Oh, do Lord, oh, do Lord, oh, do remember me. Do Lord, oh, do Lord, oh, do remember me. Do Lord, oh, do Lord, oh, do remember me. Way beyond the blue. That word do is right there. Do it. That's all he says to do. He says do. Whatsoever things you've seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you.
Amen.
He'll be with you. He said, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly. Look at that. Look at the joy, the rejoicing already. He said, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me flourisheth again. Wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned. It's a learning process. He said, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. You mean you're content being in prison? If the Lord's with him, that's all he needs. That's the message. Even if you're locked up in prison, he said, I'm content. He's not blaming everybody else for putting him there. He knows why he's there. He's there for preaching the gospel. He's there for following Jesus. He's there for letting people know he is all we need. So he says, I know. I know both how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things. He said, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. So brothers and sisters, there's nobody that suffered any worse in this earth today, or in the past, or in the future, more than Jesus Christ himself. And Paul says, I know how to suffer need. And even though I know how to suffer need, he's still conveying to us today, Jesus is all I need. So he says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. How can you do that, Paul, being locked up in jail? Think about this. He's locked up in jail. How's he going to get that letter to the church at Philippi? How's he going to make sure that letter to the church at Philippi is going to be read on July 31st, 2016, when it's almost 2,000 years later? He's all I need. How about you? He says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I believe he meant it. I believe it still applies today. Notwithstanding, you have well done that you did communicate with my affliction. He says, now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. You see, everybody else has forgotten him, but he's not saying, everybody's forgotten me. Everybody's forgot faith. Everybody's forgot those that are over there. No. He just plainly told the truth. Not everybody forgot him. There's going to be somebody that's going to remember you. Church of Philippi, that was you. Church of Faith, that was you. There's times when people feel neglected and feel like nobody's thinking of them. But I'll guarantee you one thing. I believe if we think on these things, we'll thank the Lord that we're able to be here today. For even Thessalonica says, you sent once and again to my necessity, not because I desire to give, but I desired fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound, I am full. having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. What do you think all that was? When the Bible talks about fruit, what is talking about souls that have been gotten saved? That you're still preaching the truth. That you're still holding on to those things that were passed down from generation to generation. You're still doing what we were set up to do. He says you're doing those things. He said, and that's well-pleasing. That's that sweet-smelling savor. That, and he says, but my God shall supply your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. So we're starting with the end in mind. And I'm going to stop because if I start up again, we may be here for about another hour. Because I've got at least another hour of a sermon left in me just on this subject. Jesus is all we need. I'm going to leave it at that. Anything on anybody's heart? Amen. Yes. Amen. 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 It is. Amazing grace. Amen. God bless you though, sonny. Somebody else. Well, the one thing that we need to do is to encourage one another. The altar's always open. And I want everybody here, Faith Church, if I do not say that every service, somebody speak up. Brother Spurgeon, let everybody know that the altar's open where people can come and pray. And when they come to pray, we need to live a life before them that they understand that Jesus is all we need. So, help me to remind me of those things. Remind each other. Think on these things. You just take that 8th verse this week. You just think on that 8th verse and all the things that God wants us to think on. We won't have any other time for all the bad stuff going on. We won't. Does that mean the bad stuff's not going to go on? Oh, yeah, you know it is. It's going on right now. But if we think on these things, how better life will be than knowing that He's all we need. As we stand and sing, Lord Jesus, let's come around and encourage one another.
Let's pray before we do that. Thank the Lord for salvation. Thank you for your message for you, such a burden. I wasn't here on the 4th of July. I ain't been on television. There was a song come on and said, what the world needs now is love, sweet love. And I thought, come in my heart, where did I get love from my heart?
Amen. That's it.
And I thought, when the world needs Jesus, they were flashing on the screen.
Yes.
All the troubles and things that were going on in the world. Singing that song, what the world needs love. Where did you find love?
Amen.
It's 44.
And
we all
get that. Amen. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing His mercy and His grace in the mansion bright and blessed. He'll prepare for us a place. Yeah.
acceptable in His eyes. And nobody else may. You may not be acceptable to anybody else, but if they're acceptable to that's really what really matters.
Yeah.
He's all I need.
Right.
To some extent. I need her. I need you. Don't misunderstand. Satan will tell you it's twisted. If you got Jesus, all of those things fall into place.
Well, Spurgeon, I'd like to thank the Lord for salvation and all blasphemy. And I thank Him for sending you and Sister Ross to us. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Dear Heavenly Father, we're very thankful for the message that came from Brother Ron Spurgeon's heart that you gave him. We're so very thankful for the words of comfort, joy, and the peace that it will give us. Father, we ask that you be with this church family as they are growing, and be with them as they search for new members, that they'll be able to bring in a church family that will be all true believers, and that will be bountiful and fruitful. Father, be with us today as we travel in different many directions. Travel with us, bless us with traveling mercy. This rest in your Lord's Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
I'm ready.
I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready.